Look at what's back on Friday night, the mega cast. You can watch the college football semifinals on ESPN, and you also have all these other options as well on the ESPN family of networks. And welcome back to Get Up. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. We're coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. A lot to get to on the show, so let's get right to it and say good morning. It's time to Get Up with Crunch Time in Cleveland. It's win and you're in against the Steelers. So, what is the Brown season if they don't make the playoffs? Our guys will tell you. Plus, it's Super Bowl or bust for Tampa, Tom, and the Buccaneers. At least that's according to their coach. Do our experts agree? And on the eve of the college football playoffs, does Justin Fields have something to prove to NFL scouts? We'll have the answer live from the Sugar Bowl. And let us kick it off with the Buccaneers. They clinched the playoff spot for the first time in 13 years. But here's the thing, if you ask head coach Bruce Arians, that's not enough. He has very high expectations for this team, and he mentioned it yesterday. Take a listen to this. It's Super Bowl or bust, Arians told Good Morning Football. That's the goal every year. And you can't get to the Super Bowl if you can't get in the playoffs, so that's been huge for us. But Super Bowl or bust is the headline. Let's bring in our NFL guys, Lewis Riddick, Dominique Foxworth, Adam Schefter. Lou, let's start with you. Would it be a disappointment if they don't make it to the Super Bowl?
No question. Look, that everything that they have done with the signing of Tom Brady, with the acquisition of Antonio Brown, the signing of Antonio Brown late here in the season, and everything in between has been geared towards turning this culture around quickly, really upgrading the talent on this football team, particularly on the offensive side, and upgrading it in a way that really isn't about talent, but more so about decision making and playing in big games, and, you know, via not turning the football over. And that's really what, you know, the Tom Brady acquisition was all about, on top of the fact that he's, you know, he's just one of the greatest players of time. Tom's goal every year has been Super Bowls. That's the standard he set when he was in New England for 20 years, for 19 plus years. So now that's the standard he's bringing down there to Tampa Bay and that he has instilled in that organization. So, I mean, what else is there for them? Really, what else is there other than making it to the Super Bowl? If they don't get there, then kind of more or less everything else that they have done just kind of goes by the wayside and really doesn't count for much, because this isn't about building a program for the future, although for the GM in the front office it always is. For Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and everything surrounding this football team in the context of 2020, it was about getting to the Super Bowl, no question about it.
Okay, so, Neek, here's the thing that gets me, right? If it's Super Bowl or bust for the Bucs in the NFC, there's a very good chance that they're going to have to go through Lambeau Field and the Green Bay Packers. Do you see this Bucs team as one that can win in Green Bay?
Well, they beat Green Bay pretty handily earlier in the season, but I understand that's going to be different than going into Lambeau in December. But, yeah, I think they can. I think a lot is made of playing in cold conditions, which it's hard. It sucks. But I think Aaron Rodgers said it himself when he was being interviewed. I think it was on Pat McAfee's show, where he kind of said that it's about giving the opponent something else to think about. And I don't think that a guy like Tom Brady is going to allow his team to come in there and focus on the weather necessarily. Clearly, Tom Brady is comfortable in those conditions. That's not to say that the rest of the team is, but with the modern technology they have, with a heated field and heat on the bench and big-ass coats, they're going to be fine. They'll be able to play in those conditions, and I think they can win in those conditions. I do think, however, it's scarier that they might have to play the Saints, the team that they really struggled against in this season. They got blown out by and they lost to in week one of the season. Playing the Saints is going to be another hurdle for the Bucs that might be even tougher than going into Lambeau for them.
Yeah, Adam, I wonder if they don't get it done this year. Let's say they don't get to the Super Bowl, they don't win the Super Bowl. Do they try to run it back with all these stars they've assembled?
No, absolutely. Listen, you have Tom Brady on a two-year contract, and as long as Tom Brady is there, you're trying to win while he's there. And the players who are around him want to be there, in part because Tom is there. So to me, when Tom Brady signed on in Tampa and he signed a two-year contract, he created a two-year window for this team to go to the Super Bowl. And so when Bruce Arians says it's Super Bowl or bust, you wouldn't expect him to say anything else but just that. As long as Tom Brady is your quarterback, it's Super Bowl or bust. And as long as Tom Brady is your quarterback, it'll be Super Bowl or bust every single year that he's there and he's contractually obligated and tied to Tampa for this year and next year.
So, Lou, how many Super Bowls do you envision Brady winning in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, this is a tough question, man. And you know what? And I hate to be, you know, a wet blanket, but I have a hard time seeing them winning them only because of this. At some point in time, look, there's two teams that they're going to have to go through. They're going to have to go through Green Bay. They're going to have to go through New Orleans. Those are the two teams in the NFC that they're going to have to beat. I know that they handed Green Bay a good butt whooping down there in Tampa Bay. But look, I also remember Aaron Rodgers saying this about teams that come to Green Bay. Look, it's all about who can suffer the most, who can last the longest in those miserable conditions. And Tom Brady has proven that he can play in any kind of condition and he can make big time throws in any kind of condition. I don't know if his team is built to handle that, though, to go up to Green Bay and deal with those kind of conditions, an empty stadium, it's dark, it's cold. That's a different kind of cold up there, man, and we know that. That cold makes people tap out. And in New Orleans, they just have this – they have a mental block with New Orleans right now. New Orleans is, like, in Tampa Bay's head. And so I don't know. Over the next 2 years, depending upon what happens with Drew down there in New Orleans and what's going on with their quarterback situation – that's what makes it tough for me to see a very distinct, clear path to them getting to a Super Bowl and winning one Super Bowl, because these other teams are still they're still loaded, and they both pose different problems for Tampa Bay in order to get to their ultimate goal.
See, I find that fascinating because, Nick, this is exactly why Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. The idea was we win Super Bowls, we get it done there. When you talk about the cold going into Green Bay, my thought is that he's talking to these guys and talking about how they can't let that affect them. They got to focus on the overall goal. But what do you think? He doesn't win any Super Bowls in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I agree. It's zero. It's zero to me if I had to bet on it. Winning Super Bowls is hard. And what Lou just pointed out was the two teams they have to get past just to get to the Super Bowl. Then they get there, and they're going to have to play maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Bills, someone else who is a championship-caliber team. Like, it's hard to win Super Bowls. It's especially hard to drop a guy in and then just have instant chemistry. They're building. They're getting stronger. But we haven't seen them be dominant. And that's how you have to be if you feel like you can just guarantee a Super Bowl to a team. Anything could happen on any given weekend in the playoffs. And Tom Brady, he's getting old. I know that he's really good, and he hasn't shown much of a decline except for when he's under pressure. But his career is aging, and at some point, Father Time is undefeated, as they say. At some point, it's going to have to catch up to him, and I'm not sure if it's going to be this year or next year or the year after that, but at some point, they're going to have to put more pressure on somebody else on this team, and I'm not sure they all can handle it the way that Tom can.
Okay, let me make a note. Run this back if Tampa Bay wins the Super Bowl. Okay, I got it.
No.
All good, guys.
Erase this whole segment.
Of course. All right. Let's go on the clock. This is the last day of 2020, so time to go on the clock. Looking at some New Year's resolutions. Nick, I'll start with you. Who's your resolution for?
All right, so right now my resolution is for Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan. I resolve that they rekindle their relationship in San Francisco. They got unfinished business from the Super Bowl. You remember when Matt Ryan was an MVP? And you remember when the Falcons were about to win a Super Bowl? That was not that long ago. And I do know that they have a guy that they believe is their franchise quarterback out there in San Francisco. But the way that he's performed is nowhere near as good as Matt Ryan was under Kyle Shanahan. So I hope that they figure it out. They can make a trade or some sort of agreement to get him out there and get back to the Super Bowl.
Okay, let's put 30 seconds on the clock. Lewis, who's your resolution for?
Well, it's very ironic, Dominique, that you're talking about sending Matt Ryan out to San Francisco for that guy who you say is not playing very well. Because my New Year's resolution is for Bill to figure out the quarterback situation in New England. And wasn't it Bill Belichick who drafted that guy who you're trying to throw in the trash heap out there in San Francisco in Jimmy Garoppolo back in 2004 in the second round? And he thought he had his succession plan in place until he traded him away to San Francisco. And now he doesn't have a succession plan, so he has to get another one.
Right.
That just seems like something that maybe could be in the works here this offseason. Bill, figure it out. You had it figured out in 2014, and you let it go. Let's just see if maybe he gets it back.
Okay, could be interesting. Adam, who's your resolution for? 30 seconds on the clock.
Ron, mine would be for state officials, local officials, to get as many fans back into the stands at NFL games as possible. We saw yesterday the news that New York State cleared 6,700 fans to attend the Buffalo Bills playoff game, which would be great. And you'd like to see more fans in the stadiums where it's possible, when it can be possible, assuming these fans test or pass their COVID tests and assuming they keep their proper social distancing. But if we get some fans back in the stands in certain places, the proper responsible number, that would be kind of nice to see in 2021.
Wow, even the idea of seeing fans back in the stands and not so many of those cardboard cutouts would be amazing. Guys, thanks so much. Well, coming up, it's all on the lines for the Browns this Sunday. Find out the one thing Cleveland needs to do to ensure this season doesn't become a complete disappointment. Plus, the Clemson Tigers have arrived at the Sugar Bowl. Without a key member of their team, how could that impact them against Ohio State? That's coming up next on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up, and we are one day away from the college football playoff in the early game. Notre Dame and Alabama, the granddaddy of them all. Alabama is favored by 20 points, which would be the largest point spread for a game in the history of the college football playoff. And then in the nightcap, a big one, Ohio State taking on Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. It's a rematch of last year's Fiesta Bowl. Clemson is a 7.5-point favorite, though our football power index views the game as a virtual coin flip. So let's welcome back in David Pollack and Desmond Howard. David, you were about as high as anybody on Justin Fields earlier in the season. What are you seeing in him now?
Struggles. When he started the season, I tell you what, after two games, I was like, man, him and Trevor Lawrence might battle for this number one spot because he's got so much ability and so much just – when you watch him throw a football, the accuracy is really good, really good. I mean, he can put it right where he wants to put it. He's a big, strong kid, but – tell you what, the struggle has been real the last against Indiana. You watch him against Northwestern. You watch him. I think holding onto the football a little bit too long, not seeing things as quickly as I'd like him to see things. He's still tremendously talented, and he can do some great things. But I've seen him struggle a little bit. So he was to me maybe you're battling with Trevor Lawrence for the one spot in the NFL draft, and now I think he's fighting for probably the number two or the number three spot after watching him throughout these last five games.
Wow, number three. And we remind you that Todd McShay had his recent poll, had his recent draft order, and he's got BYU's quarterback slightly ahead of him. Desmond, how concerning are Fields' performances in big games this season?
Very concerning. Because the expectations were so high coming to the 2020 season for Justin Fields and Ohio State Buckeyes, especially the offense, and to see him struggle in games of the magnitude against Indiana, a team with a competitive pulse, home game. And then the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern. I mean, this team is fielded with a bunch of Reese Davises, right? Ohio State's supposed to have way more talent than Northwestern, but they gave them all they could handle. And they had to go to the running game to end up winning that game. So to watch him struggle in big games is something none of us saw coming this season. And it's really interesting to see how he's going to go out here against Clemson, because this team is going to be the best defense he's faced all season long.
So, David, on the other side, Clemson, they're going to be without their offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott. I wonder how much that might impact a game like this.
Oh, I mean, it definitely has an impact. You're talking about taking the guy that is responsible for the mojo, the juice, the play calling, the getting a quarterback in a rhythm. I know you got Trevor Lawrence, but when you look at Tony Elliott, he's been doing this since 2014, and he's been a steady voice. He's a calm presence. Like, I think that, remember, him and Jeff Scott were co-coordinators, and Jeff Scott took the USF job, this past offseason. So I think it's a tremendous blow to this Clemson offense. And, when you need a play and you need that moment or you need to adjust, like, how does it look? Like, I'm not saying Brandon Streeter can't do it if he's the guy that fills in, but he hasn't done it before. And now, hey, you know what? You haven't done it before, but go do it at the national championship semifinal. Go have fun with that.
Yeah, right. And, by the way, Tony Elliott tested positive for COVID-19. We certainly wish him well. Desmond, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I echo those sentiments, too. I wish Tony Elliott well. I think that, you know, it's going to have an impact. How much of an impact, I'm not sure. I put it to you like this, though, guys. If I'm a Clemson Tigers fan, what will give me some confidence going to this game would be that we have Trevor Lawrence. He's the number one projected overall pick in the NFL draft. He's been in big games before against great competition, so he's not going to panic. And he's a guy who's looked at as an eraser. Don't forget, you got Travis Etienne too, another guy, senior leadership. He's been in big games before. And let's not forget Dabo Sweeney. Do you think for 1 minute that Dabo Sweeney, who's an offensive-minded coach, just said, hey, take my offense and do what you want with it? No, he's going to have some input into this too. So when you have guys who've played on this stage before against great competition, if I'm a Clemson Tigers fan, that would give me a sense of comfort.
So, Dave, we got just a couple minutes, a couple seconds left. What does Ohio State need to do to win this game?
I think Ohio State's defense has to play better than we've seen them play yet. Like, they're gonna have their hands full with Trevor Lawrence, obviously, but that defense is going to have to step up and play extremely disciplined and not blow assignments, not blow coverages. They've done a lot of that throughout this season. I think, you know, their defense is going to have to play big.
All right, we'll see how this one plays out. Again, our FPI sees it as a virtual coin flip, so this should be a great one. Guys, thanks so much. Appreciate it. The College Football Playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN and the ESPN app. Number one Alabama taking on number four Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl game, presented by Capital One. Our coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then number two Clemson, number three Ohio State in the All-State Sugar Bowl. Well, coming up, it's all on the line for the Browns this Sunday. Find out the one thing Cleveland needs to do to ensure this season doesn't become a complete disappointment. That's coming up next on Get Up.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We got a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for Mark Sanchez, who joins us next. All right, Mark, Clemson is one of two teams to beat Ohio State in a bowl game 4 times. Which is the other? Think about that. Hold that thought. Everybody let that marinate. You know what I mean? And we'll talk about this on the eve of college football playoffs. Does Justin Fields have something to prove to the NFL? Mark's going to answer that question, too, coming up next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up and thinking all about the NFL playoffs, in or out. Let's take a look at some potential playoff teams and decide whether they're going to be in or watching it from home. Lewis, I'll start with you. What about Washington, in or out?
Yeah, Brian, I think Washington's going to be in, provided that Alex Smith is able to make it to this game. They can get Antonio Gibson back. I think the running back combination between Gibson and J.D. McKissick is a strong one. I think the guy on your screen right now, Chase Young, that front four for Washington can present a lot of problems for the best of football teams. I think they'll present enough problems for Philadelphia that they win the game and they get on in the playoffs.
Going over to the Ravens, Neek, in or out?
I think they're in. They just have to beat the Bengals. I know the 4-10 record might suggest that this is an easy game, but the Bengals have been playing better as of late. And we're going to need Lamar Jackson to make big plays because that's what they need for their offensive score. But more importantly, they got three defensive backs that are on the injury report, Marlon Humphreys, Peters, and Jimmy Smith. They need those guys back to be good on D.
Lewis, the Dolphins, in or out?
Yeah, I love this football team, but I'm going to say they're going to be out. I just think they're going to struggle to go up to Buffalo and win against a hot Buffalo team that right now has his eyes set on a Super Bowl berth and a rematch with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just believe that, you know, Baker Mayfield is going to play well enough to win against Pittsburgh. I believe that Phillip Rivers is going to play well enough to win against Jacksonville. So I think the Browns and the Colts are going to get in there, and Miami's going to be on the outside looking in.
All right, so let's go to the Browns then. Neek, in or out?
And Lou stole my thunder. I mean, I can't. He already told y'all that the Browns are going to be in. I think I actually absolutely agree with him. He's right. I think the Browns, they should get their receivers back. And hopefully after last week's debacle, they'll beat a team that they should beat in the Steelers when the Steelers are resting their starters. And it's important to note, the Steelers are looking at the playoffs. So the game planning will not be at the highest level either. So the Browns better win this game.
Okay, and FPI kind of agrees with you. According to FPI, Cleveland has a 53% chance of reaching the playoffs, but advancing is another story. They have a 16% chance of reaching the division round and just a 3% chance of getting to the AFC championship. Less than 1% of getting to the big game even. So, Adam, I want to start with you. The Cleveland Browns reopened their facility for practice on Wednesday afternoon after they closed it earlier in the day due to contact tracing. What's the latest there?
Well, again, Ryan, it's open now, as of now. But, again, there are concerns there because the virus has spread. It has hit certain coaches. It has hit certain players. It wiped out their wide receiver unit before they played the Jets game last week. And, obviously, it has been a battle to try to contain that virus in Cleveland. And you could almost say that the only thing that stands in the way of Cleveland making its first postseason appearance in almost two decades is the virus at this point in time. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, their opponent this Sunday that they have to beat, they're resting Ben Roethlisberger. They're resting Marquise Pouncey. They're resting Cameron Hayward. They're resting T.J. Watt. They're resting a bunch of players. They're essentially taking their bye week in the 17th week of the season at a time where Cleveland is on the docket and Cleveland needs to win the game. Cleveland could not get a more ideal time to get the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now is the time. It's set up perfectly for Cleveland if it can control the virus that has spread through the organization. If it can do that, then Cleveland could be on the way to the postseason for the first time in almost two decades and obviously validate Kevin Stefanski as a prime candidate for the NFL Coach of the Year.
And controlling the virus has been the biggest wild card for every team this year. So I want to bring back in the guys. And, you know, Lewis, it's interesting. You played for the Browns the last time they won a playoff game. And I want to talk about the bigger picture on the Browns, but then I also want to focus on this. We saw last week Baker Mayfield, end of the game, didn't work out. Game on the line, close game against the Steelers, season on the line. Does Baker Mayfield pull it out?
Yeah, I believe he does. And I think it's more than just does Baker Mayfield pull it out. I think it's does this team stay on schedule and stay true to who they are? Because if they can, then Baker pull it out. And by that, I mean this. Look, this is still a run-centric football team. This is a team that's built to back. It has a very strong offensive line. Two strong, vicious, physical runners. And a play-action passing game that when everything runs through the run game, and I don't mean that you have to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but look, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are very good. This offensive line is very good. Baker is then very good when Kevin has a nice rhythm between the run and play action pass. If all their receivers are there, this football team is as dangerous as any on the offensive side of the ball. We've seen them light up good defenses. We've seen them put points on the board. When they get off schedules, when things get sideways, when the running game all of a sudden falters or they move away from it, and this becomes just a drop-back football team, then it can get sideways for them. They're also a football team that needs to play with the lead. They need to play from ahead so where then Olivier Vernon and Myles Garrett can get after quarterbacks. If they can do kind of things, look, Cleveland in this very unique season, they can beat anybody if they can play to that kind of schedule and stay on schedule like that, which is why I think you know, in this unique offseason, you cannot count out anyone. And Cleveland is a sneaky good football team, but they need to stay true to who they are.
Okay, I'm hearing some sound in the background. Somebody's getting fired up over the Browns, I can tell you that. Hey,
oh, it's a dogfight. It's a dogfight.
That's what it's going to be in this game.
The Browns
Nick, I have
are
to
a dogfight.
More than that.
Well, whose house do you think that is?
Whose? You talking
That's in the studio.
What's going on over there, Schefter?
Perfect. Perfect. That's what I want to ask. What is going on over there?
He's just sitting there shaking his head. He's just like, I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to
listen, here's the deal, basically. If you hear dogs barking on air, if there are dogs barking on air, the overwhelming chances are it's my house, okay? That's the way it is.
He's just fired up on the Browns. That's the bottom line. Because, Nick, he thinks he's got it. Whoever that dog is a Baker Mayfield fan, and I got to ask you, do you trust Baker Mayfield late in the game? And what does this season look like for you if they don't make the playoffs? What is this season for the Browns?
So I think this season, if they don't make the playoffs, it's the weird situation where it's a success and a disappointment. Like, the way the season ends is going to be hugely disappointing. But if they've gotten over 10 wins, and I think the big questions in Cleveland coming into this season was, do we have our coach and do we have our quarterback? I think that answer has been made. Like, the answer is yes to both of those questions, no matter what happens this weekend. And your quarterback is not going to be Deshaun Watson level good or Patrick Mahomes level good or Aaron Rodgers level good. That's fine. But he's a slightly above average quarterback, which is good. That means he's better than most quarterbacks in the league. And that's a good situation when things work out. So I think this season could be a success and also a disappointment. But I do think that as long as Baker doesn't have to run any quarterback sneaks, he'll be fine in late game situations, especially when the most talented and the scariest defenders that the Steelers have are going to be on the sideline in ponchos.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell you what,
Ryan,
go ahead.
Let me just interrupt you 1 second.
Sure, please.
The Cleveland Browns facility that reopened yesterday closed again today. More issues, more COVID concerns. So that's not good.
Well, see, again, this is why we can't make predictions, man. This is what I mean. You know, honestly,
not this year.
Honestly, you know, honestly speaking, I mean, this could just throw everything into a tailspin for them, and that's what 2020 has been. But if they have their full complement of players, look, we saw them on national TV on Monday Night Football go toe to toe with the Ravens. And basically, I mean, it came down to the wire. And Justin Tucker, I mean, who's just an absolute sniper, a killer as far as a kicker is concerned, ends that football game. But this team is legitimate. It's just a shame that right now, as Adam has alluded to, where they are now catching the Steelers, basically taking their bye in Week 17, they may not be at full strength to go ahead and take advantage of and get on into the playoffs, which is just – it's so typical and so indicative of just how challenging this season has been. It's been unbelievable.
I tell you, it's almost like they're snake bitten. Adam, you set it up perfectly. It's almost a perfect situation for the Browns. Here they come into this game, and then what has really – hampered every single team, every single sport this year. COVID-19 is really biting them right now. We will see how this plays out. All right, guys, thanks so much. I want to turn you back to a little sneaky Hembo time. We were asking Mark Sanchez about this. Clemson is one of two teams to beat Ohio State in a bowl game 4 times. Mark Sanchez with us now. Which is the other?
Well, Hembo, you know, he thinks he's sneaky. But the last time these two teams played, Ohio State got the best of USC, but I think it's USC.
You are correct.
Let's go.
How are you not going to be correct, right? Very old
Show
USC
me Hembo's they... face. Show me Hembo's face.
Look, and he says, of course, he's a homer. 4 times from 72 to 84, but he got it right. That's the key, Hembo. All right, back to the college football playoffs. Once in the discussion for the number one pick, the number one overall pick in 2021, Justin Fields is now the third-ranked quarterback on Todd McShay's big board behind Trevor Lawrence and BYU's Zach Wilson, we mentioned earlier. Fields is going to take on the Clemson team that lead the nation in defensive efficiency. Not the best setup for him. The difference, by the way, between Justin Fields' first 3 games this season and his last three, folks, it's stark. His QBR dropped by over 20 points. His completion percentage fell nearly 30 points. And he has 5 picks in his last 3 games after being spotless in his first 3. Not the kind of trending you want to have coming to the end of the season. So, Mark, it just seems that Justin Fields' stock is falling. What's at stake for him tomorrow night against Clemson?
Well, listen, it's a huge game. There's no doubt about it. There's no hiding from it. But he's ready to embrace that. Talking to Coach Day, talking to people familiar with the program, they know he's ready to play. And we got to keep in mind, I mean, we can't just judge his entire draft stock on a couple games now. Looking up some huge stats that Hembo hooked me up with, but in 20 games at Ohio State, he's had one game under a 70 QBR, and that was against Northwestern. Had a couple unfortunate errors, has a miscommunication with the wide receiver right here. There's an interception. And then this is against Indiana. But still, he's had, 25 years of college football. Let's talk about the last 25 years. One quarterback has had a better touchdown to interception ratio than Justin Fields, and that's Tua Tagovailoa. So let's not get caught up in Justin Fields is just a turnover machine or something. In some of these clips, too, you see him running with the ball. Nobody can tackle this kid. He's so explosive. He's had a couple rough games, a couple bad throws, and a couple bad decisions, and that's about it. But teams are going to fall in love with him, and let's not forget how the draft works. All you need is one team to fall in love with you, and I guarantee there's one of those teams in the top five who needs a quarterback, is going to fall in love with this kid. In a t-shirt and shorts, he's going to be working out for all these teams. They're just going to be blown away with his leadership ability, with his interview process, and the way he goes out and slings it around on the field. I think he's going to be just fine, and I think he has a good performance tomorrow night.
Okay, but I have to ask you this. I'm going to move on to the game in a second, but I have to ask you, you've been through this process. You know what the draft is like, and we talk all the time on this show. Timing is everything. Not going well for him right now. How much do NFL teams forget about all the stuff you mentioned and look at the last couple games, especially if he doesn't do great in this game, and say, well, this is the book on him, the last couple games we've seen?
Of course, there'll be a little recency bias. If he goes out and lays a complete egg, throws three interceptions or something, and they lose big, yeah, of course, that's going to leave a bad taste in everybody's mouth. But at the end of the day, you got to evaluate him with his whole body of work. You're going to take this kid. Everybody's going to be poking and prodding this kid like a poor lab rat. That's essentially what the draft is. But they're going to see him down to his underwear on a stage and be blown away with what his body type looks like, with his interview, the way he interviews. Let's not forget, he was the voice of the Big Ten. He essentially brought back football in the Big Ten. So this kid's ready to take on an NFL locker room. I think he has the intangibles. I think he is the total package, and he's had a rough couple games. So whatever happens tomorrow night, I think he does fine. Sure, it could adjust his draft stock a little bit here or there, but he's going to be just fine. This kid's a baller.
So how do you think Ohio State's run game impacts this game and Fields' performance in it?
Well, that's one of the most important things. They got to get their zone run game rolling, and they got to do it early. They got to do it often, and it has to keep them on track. And the threat of him running, the threat of Trey Sermon running, I mean, you see defenders from Northwestern jumping out of the way because nobody wants to tackle these running backs, whether it's Master Teague or Trey Sermon. But that's who they are. That's who Ryan Day is as a coordinator. And it's the zone run game. Distort the defense's read and then cut the defense in half. Open up the backside cutback lanes for the running back. And these guys will be off to the races. But it's a tall task against a very good front and a tough defense in Brett Venables and the Clemson Tigers.
Okay, got a little bit more time left. In the early game, Notre Dame's going to be up against that prolific Alabama offense. You played under Steve Sarkisian, who runs it. What most impresses you about his group?
Well, Coach Sarkisian's in a similar situation to when he was at USC with Reggie Bush, Lendell White, Dwayne Jarrett, Steve Smith. He's got all the options. They have a three-headed monster in Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, and Mac Jones. The most important thing that Sarkisian's told me in the last month or so is he has a quarterback he can trust. When they call the shots, that doesn't mean he's going to take the shot. He has no problem throwing the ball away, checking it down, taking a snack, and then keeping this team on track. So they love Mac Jones. They love his decision-making ability. This is a tough team to stop. When they get their play-action game going, it's on. They'll take deep shots over the field, and they'll break your back on defense.
Our quarterback, Mark Sanchez. Mark, thanks so much. Great job. And by the way, as a reminder, look at what's back on Friday night, the MegaCast. You can watch the college football semifinals on ESPN, and you have all these other options as well on the ESPN family of networks. Mitchell Trubisky has played much better since returning as the Bears starter. So why this Sunday is the most important game of his NFL career? We're going to talk about that next.
Four teams, two semifinals, New Year's Day. The college football playoff lives on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get Up is brought to you by Heineken Zero. Zero. Now you can. And tomorrow at noon Eastern on ESPN and the app, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl starts a huge college football Friday. Quarterback JT Daniels leads number 9 Georgia against number 8 Cincinnati. They are undefeated at 9-0 and looking to make a big statement. And welcome back to Get Up. We are commercial free for about the next 12 minutes, and then you go straight to First Take. We got a lot of football to cover, but First Take's got a great show too coming up at the top of the hour. Baker Mayfield and the Browns fighting just to get into the playoffs. If they make it, can they win it all? First Take follows at 10 a.m. Eastern. Meanwhile, let's go back to the Browns for a second. Adam Schefter back with us. And Adam, I just wanted to make sure we spent some time on this and talked about the most recent news with the Cleveland Browns. Tell us the latest.
Well, Ryan, essentially the Cleveland Browns have shut their facility again this morning after 2 more players tested positive. That now brings the number of players who have tested positive over the last week to 5. There have been 6 people in the Browns organization altogether, by my count, that have tested positive. 5 players, 1 staff member. The facility is closed today. Now, of the 2 positive tests that came back today, 1 was from a player who was in isolation, who was a close contact to somebody who had the virus. So they are not concerned about that particular individual spreading to other people within the organization. The 4 wide receivers that were declared out last week against the Jets as high-risk close contacts are eligible to rejoin the team if and when the facility reopens and the team gets to practice next. But at a time where the Cleveland Browns are preparing to play the Pittsburgh Steelers and trying to secure their first playoff spot in nearly 2 decades, they're also dealing with an outbreak here of COVID, and it becomes a very challenging situation for a team that is in the midst of its most important football week in nearly 2 decades, having to combat the virus. And it's so typical in this year where the NFL hasn't had to cancel a single game, not one, that in the final week of the regular season, where the league has not had to introduce a Week 18, where the league has not had to push back the Super Bowl just yet, where the league has not had to do all that much juggling, the Cleveland Browns are now dealing with the COVID issues that they are and hoping to control and contain that virus so the team can reopen its facility, get back to work, and try to concentrate on securing its first playoff spot in nearly 2 decades.
Such a tricky situation. Lewis, want to bring you back in. What do you think?
Yeah, this is just very typical of 2020, very typical of 2020 as it relates to the NFL. And it's gonna make for a very unique week of preparation for the Browns in, as Adam already articulated, in what is their most important important week of preparation that they've had in years, in more than a decade, in more than 2 decades. And, I mean, just think about this. When they're getting back some of their key components for a divisional showdown with the Steelers, namely the wide receiver group, now they can't get on the football field. Now they can't put into place a nice, solid, you know, rock solid plan against a divisional opponent that they have struggled with and that they need to go ahead and conquer in order to get into the playoffs. So it just makes the mountain that they're trying to climb all the more formidable. Kevin Stefanski, though, having talked to him in our production calls earlier this year, is up to the test. This is a guy who is extremely well prepared and detailed. I think they're built the right way as far as how they are a run-centric football team, and they will rely on the people in the trenches in order to score points. And I still think they're going to come out on top, although this is going to be a heck of a challenge. I'm just hope they're able to make it to Sunday, get on the football field, and go ahead and claim their spot in the playoff race, because I think they've earned it this year.
Well, the degree of difficulty just keeps getting harder and harder for these Cleveland Browns. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm just going to give him a pass because he don't even know how dumb that was.
You were the number one overall pick in the draft. Well, if somebody has to go, it's going to be you.
Wait, no, let me finish.
Well, hold on.
With that comes the expectation that you're going to have a QBR better than five.
Get that. Hold on. I'm not even listening.
I anticipate this getting ugly.
Time now for the Chronicles of Riddick. Look at him looking smooth right there, Mr. Lewis Riddick. Perfect matching tie. Handkerchief, man, he makes it happen.
I try, Ron.
No, you always do. You don't have to try. It just happens. But let's go through some of the hot games from the weekend and what you're looking for. Let's start with the Steelers and the Browns.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all morning long, and this is a big one for Baker Mayfield. No question about it. You know, Earth is on the line. His receiving core is back on track to play, provided that the game goes off without any delays. I like how this offensive line is playing. I like the fact that it is a football that then leads into the play-action passing game. And I like if they can get ahead. I like what this defensive front could get, you know, led by Myles Garrett. And so Baker Mayfield is someone who this week has a great opportunity in front of him.
Now, what about the Packers and the Bears?
Yeah, this is another play-in-your-in type of situation for the Chicago Bears that have come back from really the brink of, just disaster to now be able to control their own destiny. And for Mitch Trubisky, who didn't have his fifth-year option picked up, this is a guy who now is benefiting from Matt Nagy basically changing the entire philosophy as far as their offensive structure and how they call plays. This is very much so an offense that looks like the L.A. Rams, looks like the San Francisco 49ers, and Mitch Trubisky has to play well this week to get in.
And speaking of the Rams, what about the Rams and the Cardinals?
Yeah, this is another team that right now needs to play their way in, and they need to play in without their starting quarterback in Jared Goff, who has the injured right hand, the injury to his thumb. And John Wolford is going to have to make his first start ever in the NFL, his first appearance ever in an NFL game. They're beat up at the running back position. So for Sean McVay, this is going to have to be his best coaching job of 2020 overall if they're going to get into the playoffs.
I mean, right there, that is sneaky, enormous news. Take a look at this. Week 14, the Rams had a 99.9% chance to make the playoffs. And I was just looking this up. Here we are a few weeks later, and they're starting John Wolford. Hadn't started a game since playing for the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF. And that's what they're going. And I'm not trying to knock him. I'm just saying, Lewis, this is an incredible situation.
Yeah, it really is. It's a heck of a challenge. Look, I think Sean McVay, though, has articulated very, very adamantly that this team believes in John Wolford, that they think that he's going to be someone who catches a lot of people by surprise. This defense, led by defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, is going to have to carry some short fields, create some turnovers. It's a heck of a challenge against the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see if John Wolford and Sean McVay's team is up to it.
Now, you were talking, I want to get back to Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears. You were talking about that. I want to get back to that. In terms of this, look at him right there. For all the criticism he's taken this season, over the last 3 weeks, he's been nothing but solid. He ranks in the top 10 in the NFL in touchdowns, yards per attempt, completion percentage. And most importantly, and here's the key, the Bears have gone 3-0. Here's the thing. This is a critical game for him. How big is it for him if he wants to remain with the Chicago Bears? What needs to happen?
Well, I think he needs to just continue the trend that he has been on recently in terms of protecting the football, moving the chains, not turning it over, producing big plays down the field, and just executing within the context and within the confines of this offense, which, again, as I said earlier, has changed dramatically from when it was first to start at the beginning of the year. This is not a typical drop-back passing attack anymore. This is now a play-action boot, roll-out, move the pocket, change the launch point offense. And David Montgomery has started getting going as far as the running game is concerned, and Mitch has benefited from that as well. This is Matt Nagy totally changing philosophically how he likes to attack as far as the passing game is concerned. And we say it all the time, Ryan. We say that quarterbacks are as much the product of the systems and the way in which they're utilized as they are the product of their own individual talents. Matt has made the adjustment. Mitch is benefiting. The team is benefiting. No one would have thought 4 weeks ago that the Bears could play their way into the playoffs. But this is a great coaching job on the part of Matt. It's a great job as far as Mitch Trubisky capitalizing on a second opportunity. And who knows what can happen once they get in there. And for Mitch Trubisky, I think this bodes very well for his prospects in 2021, whether that be with the Bears or someone else.
So a couple seconds left. You think he ends up getting franchised and gets a big contract?
I think it's very possible. I think it's very possible because, look, Ryan manager there has a lot invested in Mitch Trubisky, and it's hard for general managers to cut the cord with someone who they have invested in. So we will see. If he wins this football game, I think the conversation becomes very interesting.
All right. We will see how that plays out and see if they can make it to the playoffs. Lewis Riddick, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Great job there. And I tell you, one of the toughest things is what happens with the Bears. Who makes it into the playoffs? We shall see. But for now, Happy New Year to all of you. And we leave you with this. First Take is after us. Happy New Year, Happy New Decade.
Get up, man.
Get up.
There is no better show right now.
You said it.
Fair enough.
Yes.
I said it.
Big Trust woo-woo.
Is Mike Greenberg wearing pants?
All I can say is this. Wouldn't you like to know?
We have assembled an extraordinary collection of acumen and analysis.
And Jay Will.
He has no idea what he's
Stand
talking
your role.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
What grade is this?
I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello.
Baker Mayfield, the quarterback of the Browns here.
Alex Rodriguez, the great Jack Nicklaus. Tyreek Hill.
I'm calling you out, sir.
The one and only Ben Affleck is in our studio.
Baker, we might as well get it over with, you know. Just beat the hell out of each other.
I can tell you Deflategate was bull.
Young fella, calm down.
Joe Burrow is going to be the number one pick in this upcoming draft. Is Chicago a playoff team in the NFC?
Hell no.
Marcus Spears says, hell no.
That's pretty daggum solid.
Do you expect the Buccaneers offense with Tom Brady at quarterback to be great?
No.
You out of your damn mind.
It's Tom Brady.
No risky, no bisky. Well, no cluey.
There is no reason to think that the Cowboys won't be one of the top five teams.
Rex, how fast is Henry Ruggs?
He's pretty fast.
He's not the best analyst in the business for nothing, folks.
I respect Greeny, and I get sad for him when he comes on here and says ridiculous things.
There are three potential outcomes in a football game.
No, duh.
If you go for the tie, it's actually better than a loss, and I don't know why these guys can't understand me.
Like most geniuses, I won't be fully appreciated until long after my time.
Ho, ho, ho! You're high.
I am Cash Money.
Go to the basketball booth.
Bro, you was tripping.
You know what I'm talking about.
Look at the smoothie. What the hell is Mike doing? A very large man is going to smash tiny helmets.
Greeny, you hit the table. You missed the whole thing. You hit the table. Greeny.
Oh. I could watch that all day long.
Wait. The Eagles still got that tie, and they're still going
to
win.
Outstanding. There's really nothing to add. That is as good as it gets.